This is Jimmy and Angelo. Give us a call at 381-1313 or tweet us at ESPN Radio Lex. Now here's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Dirty South. Can y'all really feel me?
Feel us.
East Coast feel me.
Feel us.
West Coast feel me.
Say what?
Dirty South.
Here we go.
It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here with you like we are every Sunday morning from 9 to 11. 381-1313 is our number. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. Let's get right down to it. 28-13, Cats lose on the road to Mississippi State yesterday. They go down there with all the cowbells. It was not a pretty game.
Yep. I kind of wonder why we even have to talk about it.
I know. It seemed like the whole attitude of everyone out there on the field, it wasn't because they were out there trying to play, but it just seemed blah.
No,
watching the game, the whole game, it just never felt like there was any sort of energy, anything.
No, I completely agree. I actually said that the first half, the flattest that I remember a Kentucky team coming out. Some people point back to Tennessee last year, lost 24-3 in Knoxville.
Yeah.
That's fine. You can say that. But honestly, it reminded me of 2017 when UK went on the road to Mississippi State, lost 45-7 in 2017. And this is what it felt like. For the first half, it felt like we just showed up to get spanked is what it seemed like. It just did not seem like we were in our right mind. We were in the right ability. We were in the right mind state to come in there and play, even though, like I think we both agree, the second half was a lot better.
Yes. It still wasn't good, but it was.
They did win the second half. They outscored Mississippi State 10-7 in the second half, which is fine. But they got beat 21-3 in the first half.
If you're trying to find a needle in a haystack for some kind of positives, you could say that, yes, they did come out in the second half.
That's what I'm here for, Jimmy. Finding the needle in the haystack, brother.
If you've got anything you want to get off your chest, if you watched the game and you were frustrated, call us up 381-1313. Or what do you think Kentucky goes from here? What are the realistic expectations for this season? Because, you know, when Terry went down a couple weeks ago, you know, everyone had to kind of reel it back in and say, okay, we're probably not going to repeat what we did last year. We did lose a lot of guys into the draft, so it was already kind of hampered expectations. But is this just a learning curve for Sawyer Smith? Was this, you know, one of those games? This is his second start, and he went 15-41 with 232 yards, no touchdowns.
Horribly bad.
Yeah.
A pick six to start the game. He had a 35.1 QBR rating. Mm-hmm. On the other side, Schrader from Mississippi State had a 91.9 QBR rating, went 17 of 22. And the guy ran all over us, 125 yards.
That kid, he's pretty good. He's the one last week that if you saw went viral for the Schrader copter when he jumped, dove for the first down and got helicoptered 11 feet into the air.
His left hook went viral.
Yeah, and he's got a pretty good beard. But, he looked great, and they were shredding the Kentucky defense. A big stat from yesterday, if you were to just look at this, you'd know exactly how the game went. Kentucky was 1 of 12 on third downs. 1 for 12. And I had to make sure that stat was right because I was like, there's no way. You go 1 for 12 on third down. I believe that's less than 10%.
No, yeah, I see where you're talking about that now, and a lot of that, you know, 3 of 4 on fourth down, though, Jimmy. Needle in a haystack.
Hey, that's what you're here for.
Needle in a haystack.
Positive Angelo.
I agree in the sense of that we were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that comes down to the offensive line. For the first time in a long time,
yeah,
they could not protect Sawyer Smith
at all.
And Sawyer Smith, by the way, he did not play well. And I'm talking about he held the ball too long. I think sometimes his decision-making is poor. I really do. It's not chance poor, but it's poor.
See what you did there.
Yeah. And I think that it probably would have gone the same way if the offensive line wasn't as leaky. But yesterday, like, Darren Kennard got beat pretty bad off the edge. It seemed like they would blitz more than we had to protect him. And Sawyer, you know, you've got to have a quarterback clock.
Yes.
In your head.
Mm.
You have to have a quarterback. Give us a call, 381-1313. You have to have a quarterback clock in your head, and if you don't, you're going to get hurt. Like,
and he did.
And
he did
get hurt.
I don't remember what play exactly it happened, but he did hurt his throwing shoulder. And you could kind of tell in the second half, he just didn't
absolutely
have the zip on the ball because he has a strong arm. Mm-hmm. But in the second half, you could just, he was putting everything he had into it, and it just didn't have the oomph.
Yeah, there was a couple deep balls. Throw him up there. Yeah. And I mean, Lynn Bowden came down with one, but you could tell when he threw it, it was a guy that's just heaving it because that's all he could do.
He got sacked three times, and they had five quarterback hurries. That's a lot for this good offensive line.
No, that doesn't sound right, though, Jimmy. Like, I know you have the stats in front of you. Mm. You're not just pulling that out. I'm just saying.
It seemed like watching
the game. It seemed like there were five sacks and 12 quarterback hurries is the way that it felt.
Right. Now, I don't know how they quantify a quarterback hurry, if they have to hit the quarterback, touch the quarterback, or if, because there was a lot more times where they were in his grill or he had to escape the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a rough day all the way around. And then the Kentucky defense, I believe we had zero quarterback hurries and only two sacks. So, look, it was the opposite for the other way. I'm just reading what the stats say.
Oh, I don't think you can have – it's weird. It's kind of like you can't you can't have a sack and not have a tackle for loss.
Right.
They're the same thing. So I think if you hurried the quarterback and sacked him, it's the same.
It would be two
quarterback hurries, two sacks.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what stats you're like. Now I'm questioning your statistical measure. I don't know where you're at. So
I just go off the website.
If you have to, put Walker Wood in. Just put the kid in.
That's what I was going to ask next. Where do you how long is the leash for Sawyer Smith?
I mean, it's not even like the leash. I don't mind if Sawyer Smith is continuing to be our starter. Mm-hmm. It's that if the guy is legitimately hurt.
Okay.
Like, he wasn't injured, but he was hurt.
And then the long run, if it's a shoulder, if it's something to do with a rotator cuff, with something like
not even in the long run, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. Yeah, you don't want to. You need to sit him to make sure he's healthy. I get where you're going there, but I'm just saying, if you're in the fourth quarter of a game that you can win, why are you putting the guy out there that has a bum shoulder? Put in, let him sit. Put in Walker Wood. They were using Lynn at the Wildcat sometimes, and you don't trust in Walker. You don't trust in him to come in there and make plays for the team. You would rather have Lynn Bowden, who everyone knows can but shouldn't throw.
There was a couple times where they brought him in, and it's just, it kind of makes you raise your eyebrows when they're like, oh, they're putting him in now. Where they take Sawyer Smith out. Mm-hmm. And it like you said, do they not trust him? Or it could have been his shoulder, but like, why didn't they go to Walker Wood?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that showed me that they didn't necessarily have the faith in Walker,
right,
to make that switch there at the end of the game, because you don't go 15-41 with that, without having some type of of problem. And you could tell he was banged up. I mean, even on the drive that, which this is works perfectly into what we need to talk about next. But we got him on the drive, throws Lynn deep, and then he misses, I believe, Lynn in the back of the end zone, or Ollie or someone,
mm-hmm,
in the back right of the end zone. And then on third down, he throws that pass where Keaton Upshaw is wide open down the middle.
Yeah.
And it hits off the top of the field goal post.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, get like the coaching staff, you saw what just happened. Sawyer Smith, healthy, is 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, like, he can't feel his shoulder or something, and he's putting the ball out there.
Yeah,
like, Colt McCoy, when he got hurt in the national championship, I'm not saying that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a step back. This is just, I'm not speculating. I'm just saying if it's possible that this was the case, just like anything, his shoulder could have been just fine, which obviously it wasn't. But I mean, Colt McCoy in the national championship game, his shoulder didn't hurt. He said he just couldn't feel it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the difference. He was like, my arm doesn't hurt, I just can't feel it.
A nerve that gets pinched
like
or something.
He just had it hanging. He didn't know what was up. I mean, that's the way Sawyer threw after he got hurt. He had a right arm. He picked it up with his left arm and he flung it to see where the football went.
Or if you've ever had a stinger, kind of one of those where it's like, nothing structurally is wrong. It's just you can't get it to work. Not that it's asleep, but if it's hard to explain what a stinger feels like, but that's kind of what it looked like he had. Where you can, it works, but
I've never had a stinger, so it's hard for me. I've had football injuries from playing high school football, but I never had. Stinger.
That's not the exact medical term for it, but that's just what it was always called.
Oh, yeah.
When I was around
the
game.
I've never pinched a nerve, I don't think. I mean, I've had little things. But you kind of took a beating in high school. Well, when you're really good, you usually get hurt more, so that's probably why. I never got hurt very much. Let's just say that. But speaking of after he missed that throw,
mm-hmm,
was Chance poor time.
Yeah, and this game, I think, could have been different if Chance Poor made two of those kicks that he missed. Because you could just tell that when he missed the first one going into to halftime, it was kind of like an exhale, like, okay.
Because he made the first one.
Yes.
And Jimmy, I disagree very slightly. Mm-hmm. I think he only needed to make one of those kicks.
Yeah.
And it was that one.
Right.
He had to make, because that would put you at 21-13. You've got however many minutes left with however many timeouts. I believe there was, I'll look up the scoring plays right now, actually, so mm-hmm. we don't have this, but it was, excuse me, I don't mean for dead radio, but the field goal came at, no, that was 4:22. It was punt. Missed field goal came with 43 seconds left in the third quarter.
Right.
Is when that came to,
And that one was, it was not a long field goal. It was just maybe a little bit more than an extra point, I believe. And you could just tell his confidence was shot, which is why they changed kickers. But when you go down there, and not only the two missed field goals.
I was incorrect. It was 3:23 left in the third quarter. I was looking at the wrong missed field goal. Yeah, it was, no, excuse me. Again, if the drive started in the third quarter, it was 12:15 left. I get third time's a charm, is what they say. And for Chance Poor, the third time was maybe the end of his kicking career at Kentucky.
I think so.
I think so, too. I think it was 12:15 left in the fourth. The drive started in the third quarter. They drive down the field. It was Ahmad Wagner, by the way, early, because he had the 39-yard pass to Bowden. Then there was a couple plays. Then he missed Wagner, missed Upshaw. Poor comes in, misses a 26-yard field goal. I think that's the end of his kicking tenure here at Kentucky, at least. Just depends what he does at the end of the year. It depends if anything happens to Ruffalo, because Matt Ruffalo came in.
Mm-hmm.
And who's Mark Ruffalo? Is he an actor or something?
Yeah, that's the guy who played the Hulk.
Oh, okay.
The new Marvel movie.
That's who I think of. Yeah. Well, he is kind of Little Hulk. He is Little Hulk. We're going to coin that right now. Little Hulk.
Okay.
Matt Ruffalo. 29-yard field goal. Right down the pipe.
Yeah.
I think it's his job.
I think so.
And especially because it looked like Chance got hurt. They should have thrown a flag.
I was wondering that. And I saw the rules official come on, and they said because the kicker had finished the kick, went through his motion, and both feet were on the ground, that's why it wasn't a penalty. I was just confused.
Are you kidding me? Really the explanation?
I thought that's what I heard.
Jimmy, that's not good enough. You know,
no.
You had a guy run into the kicker, and why is it in every other game it's called, but in our game it's not?
Yeah, because he wasn't flopping. He legit got ran into. So it's, I don't know,
Jimmy. But it's when you. This is why I didn't want to talk about this game. I hate you for making me talk about this game. I'm looking at Kylan Hill of Mississippi State. We knew we had to come in and stop him, right?
He's a beast.
You knew that, right,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. He had 26 rushes for 120 yards.
Yeah.
Three touchdowns. Jimmy, his longest run was 18 yards.
Yes.
So that means he was just
shredding.
Just turning away.
Yep.
Turning away. Turning away. Turning away. Turning away. And that's what I don't like, is that we just our incapability just to stop him, period. It was, you know, I'd rather have a guy run, have a 90-yard run, and then shut him down the rest of the game than have someone that's just going to eat up a quarter worth of football by just pounding the rock.
Yeah.
So,
but
and
with
then Schrader, and then Kylan Hill.
Yeah.
And then anyway, it was bad.
But with those two missed field goals, there were also two really big drops near the end zone that Kentucky had. Ahmad Wagner had a drop, and then Lynn Bowden had a big drop also. Lynn actually had two kind of close to the end zone.
He had three.
Yeah.
He had three drops.
Right. Two of them were in the end zone or close to the end zone.
Yes.
So the game could have gone a lot differently. For as poorly as Kentucky played,
as what?
As poorly as Kentucky played, it was that close too. And that, you know, that's what football is. That's the difference between an average team, a good team, and a great team. Those great teams, they don't make those plays. They don't miss those catches in the end zone. They don't miss those 27-yard field goals.
And they don't come out flat. Right. By the way, that was petty of you for saying it was poorly. poor game.
Oh, I didn't. I don't.
I could tell you.
Don't even know what you're talking about.
What do you ever mean?
And right, when you go 1-for-12 on third down, there's nothing else you can really do.
I don't think there's much really else to talk. You can give us a call 381-1313 if you want to talk about the game. We will talk about the game with you, no problem. But I don't really see what else to talk about. Oh, you know what? Here in a little bit, because I want to go to the college football landscape next.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about Cash Daniel, him sitting out the first drive. But up next, if you are waking up this morning and you do not have the final scores from last night, you're going to want to...
There's a lot of numbers.
You want to stay tuned in.
There might be a Pac-12 referee conspiracy as well.
Oh, a lot of Pac-12 things that went on yesterday.
It was a big day for the Pac-12. That's coming up on Jimmy and Angelo right here on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Come on. Bring them out, bring them out.
Bring them out, bring them out. This is Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5.
ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here with you like we are every Sunday. We never leave you alone. 9 to 11. Call us up 381-1313. We're talking some college football. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. Late last night, you know, if you're up now, you probably didn't stay up late to see the nightcaps on the West Coast, but man, do they like to score the football.
They do. They do. And Gardner Minshew was at a certain game last night as UCLA took on Washington State. And you'd think he would be there for a glorious win. UCLA's 0-3 with losses to Cincinnati.
Not good.
San Diego State. Mm-hmm. And then more understandably, Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, Oklahoma's great with Jalen Hurts, a guy that you don't think should even have a breath in the Heisman Trophy candidacy, which is fine.
Are you starting
to change your mind?
After my guy Trevor Lawrence went 7 of 9 for 94 yards and 2 touchdowns, I don't think he's got a chance.
That's a good stat line.
Look, I'm okay to admit that I was dead wrong.
Are you okay to admit that?
It hurts.
You're really like your fist. I can see white knuckles coming all around your fist.
It hurts, and I'm trying to not punch my computer right
now. Oklahoma didn't play yesterday, right?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either. I think they were on a bye week. Tell me more, Jimmy, about the UCLA Washington State game, which nobody around here I think should care about. But why should I care about it?
Because one, Washington State is the school that Mr. Gardner Minshew went to, and he showed up with cut-off denim jean shorts, a bandana around his head, and his mustache just looking fantastic.
On fleek.
So Washington State had all the momentum. They were up 32 points at one time during the game. UCLA ends up rallying back and winning 67-63.
Not even at one point in the game. It was in the third quarter.
Yes.
UCLA managed to pull off, let's see if I can do the math, carry the one, 50 points in the second half.
Yeah.
I will repeat that. UCLA scored 50 points in the second half to come back and beat Washington State by 4 points. Oh, and Washington State's quarterback, Gordon, you could say he had a good day. He threw 9 touchdowns, which is an NCAA record.
That's a
9
lot.
Touchdown. Give us a call, 381-1313. What would your reaction be if you're a fan of a team, your quarterback throws 9 touchdowns? That's one short of 10 touchdowns in a game.
That's how the numbers
and
work.
And you still lose.
Yeah. That's rough.
How can you?
And everyone thought the game was over when UCLA turned it over on downs going into the end zone, I believe was on their 10-yard line. So Washington State trying to run out the clock, but when you're a team like them, you don't run out the clock. You throw the ball to run out the clock. So they threw a little swing pass, and the receiver got the ball stripped right as he was hitting the ground, and UCLA gets the ball back with a minute left, and then they go ahead. It was just an insane finish, and Chip Kelly, he normally doesn't show a lot of emotion, but he was getting a little excited. He was, like, dapping up players on the sideline.
Was he? Because if you said rank the coaches that would dap up their players on the sideline, it'd be like one's like Dabo Sweeney, two some, you know, like Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
1,034 is literally just no coach, and then at the very, very bottom Chip Kelly.
Yeah, does Chip Kelly still coach? Yeah, I guess you could put him there at the bottom.
I don't know. I couldn't tell that Chip Kelly still coach because he went to UCLA and they've been terrible. They have been terrible since he got there.
You just named the teams that they lost to just this season.
Has been terrible. If you're UCLA, like, I get it. You can have losses if you're still competitive, but this is easily the biggest win of Chip Kelly's early, UCLA tenure, and he really needed this game in this comeback, because now you have something to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't have anything to sell. What was Chip Kelly going to sell other than being in Beverly
That's really
Hills?
It.
Yeah. Hollywood. No, you know what? Chip Kelly has sold me. Where's my scholarship offer? Please, Chip, offer me. But that was the easily the craziest, I think, numbers-wise to throw at you.
Oh, yeah.
But that wasn't even that was probably the third craziest game of the day.
How about Pittsburgh upsetting UCF?
Oh, I thought you were going to go a different way, because that's number one. That's Pittsburgh-UCF game.
Yeah.
So, UCF, Pittsburgh leads 21-10 at halftime. They're going to be just fine. Pittsburgh's going to have a puncher's chance.
Mm-hmm.
UCF scores 21 in the third quarter. You know, it's a pretty close game, but I heard that UCF was starting to pull away.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Pitt special, the Philly.
Yep.
Of Pittsburgh.
They ran the Philly special that the Eagles ran in the Super Bowl and scored, and teams everywhere have started running it now. But I don't know how this play keeps working. Do the defenses not know what's coming? When the quarterback pitches the ball and then kind of dummy blocks, put him on the ground.
Is this the new Statue of Liberty?
Is this
generation Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, after Boise State and Jared Zabrinsky ran that and everyone wanted to run it on the NCAA
Hook
football game.
Oh, yeah. You know how many times I ran that in NCAA football. By the way, I mean, just like it, too.
Oh, absolutely.
At least there were some guys running after him.
Kinda. That was a big upset. And what was the one you were going to go to?
And then I thought, because you talked about it like twice before we even got in the show, like every break, Jimmy can't stop mentioning this game, but it's the California Ole Miss game.
Oh, yes, that. So the game was at Ole Miss, and number 23 Cal comes in. And the big thing with this is that the reffing crew was the Pac-12 officiating crew, which Cal is a part of. So they came all the way to Mississippi. And there was a play at the end of the game where Ole Miss threw a ball. It was an out route at the goal line. The receiver caught it. To me, was clearly in the end zone. And it was at least close enough to challenge, or for the referee to stop it, go in the booth, let the guys look at it. They did not stop the clock. They did not stop the play. So Ole Miss was like, what is going on? There's 7 seconds left. They rush to the line, try to do a quarterback sneak. Game's over, and everyone's kind of standing around wondering, how was that not challenged? I think even Cal was waiting for the play to be challenged, because when you see the replay, the balls, there's no way it did not cross the threshold. So a lot of people were wondering what's going on with the Pac-12 officiating. You know, they're on the road. Cal's on the road.
So they didn't bring in another staff for this. They used Pac-12 officials in an out-of-conference game. Is that what you're trying to tell me
right
now?
That is what I'm telling you right now.
All right, Jimbo, I'm watching the highlight right now. Should I have done this before the show? Of course.
Probably.
But did I? No. All right, well, it looked like that he caught the ball out of the end zone. It seemed like the ball was, he was in the end zone, but the ball was not.
But as you're watching, does it not look, at least with 7 seconds left in a very close game, and as much as review happy as the referees are in this day and age of football, how is this play of all of them not stopped? When you look at it from the goal line angle, from that pylon cam, it looked like it was in. So that was just a big headline in a game that more than likely.
I get that. But you're right. You're right. Why was it? I mean, the referee put his toe. I bet a part of his foot was on the white line.
Yeah.
With the way that he put his foot in there. I agree. I think there is a semblance of, can you please just check it?
Especially with 7 seconds left in a very, very close game. So,
and, I mean, but here's the thing that has backlash. And look, Jimmy, I'm not saying this should have happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying you can argue that if you're a California fan, Ole Miss didn't have any timeouts left, and you just stopped the clock and let everybody like reset and rest to check it. And, you know, this is one of those games where it's just hard because we talk about all the time, like replays ruining football. Referees have too much power at the end of the game when the game's on the line. That's a football ending. You know, that's a football ending. You're short. Mm-hmm. They lined up. They still had a quarterback stay.
They did.
All right. I'm going to attack some of our audience.
Okay.
All right. If you're a Saints fan, all right, listen up.
No.
It's just like having the pass interference call. Did you still kick a field goal? Did you still go back on defense? Did you still go into overtime? Did Drew Brees still throw a duck or a quack quack and Greg Zuerlein hit his 59-yard field goal to win the game? Like, I'm just saying, they still had a quarterback sneak that they didn't convert at
the
end. I would feel differently about it if it was the last play of the game.
Right.
So it's if that ended the game, I think if the clock would have struck to zero, do you think there's a chance they would have stopped, like after the game was over, they would replay it?
That is interesting, because where does the how far can you go after the clocks have hit quadruple zeros? There's no time left.
Ooh, zeros. Yeah, I like that.
I like to go quad zero on my
quad
scoreboards.
Quad zero, okay.
Can the referees go back and then say, we're going to challenge this? Or once it hits all zeros, is that game over? Doesn't matter. They have to be buzzed before that. So that would be interesting to look. I don't know what the official rules would be on that. But, yeah, that was an interesting finish. Also, Appalachia State upsets North Carolina, a battle of the Carolinas. And Ooh. Guess how they won the game? Much like the Michigan upset years ago, they blocked a kick at the end of the game to win.
No yes, way, they did. Jimmy. Jimmy, quit lying to me,
North
Jimmy.
Carolina
Jimmy.
They were going for the win, and App State blocked it. And that's a big rivalry, and I say rivalry, just because they're in the same state. So that was good for them. And is there a new runner for the Heisman? Have you heard of this quarterback for Texas? I'm not saying I'm jumping off the Trevor Lawrence bandwagon and hopping on the Sam Ellinger bandwagon.
Oh, when it comes to the one thing about Jimmy that I know is you stick to your guns whenever you like somebody or something. But Derek, that you've shown a different side of yourself to me about the Heisman. You are bandwagoning. You will go wherever the bread is hot.
Well, I just don't really have any alliances. So, Texas beat Oklahoma State 36-30 and their quarterback, Sam Ellinger, had 281 yards, 4 touchdowns against an
unranked Oklahoma State team.
I mean, they were 3-0. So, and that's a big rivalry game for them.
Yeah,
I said the word rivalry.
You know,
they hadn't
beat Oklahoma State in a half decade.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
It's been a long half decade for Texas.
Well, they're coming out of it now. Tom Herman's really got the ball rolling there. You know who doesn't have the ball rolling
in the
right direction? Jim Harbaugh. In Michigan.
Is he going to be out of a job soon?
I don't know if that is the solution, but the expectations are not being met. Like, somebody made a good point. Like, you're Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You're not Alabama. You're not Clemson.
Yeah.
You're not Georgia right now. Those are the only teams. Even Ohio State was getting punked out by who'd they lose to? Last year was they lost to Purdue, and they got blown out by Purdue. This is like the example of getting blown out by Purdue, who at least was unranked during that time. That's why Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, I wanted to come on here and really stick it to him because of the crap he's talked about the SEC lately. He said the SEC has unfair advantages in recruiting or something, even though he brought his camp to Florida, like his first training camp to Florida. He tries to stick roots into the South. It's just, I guess when you're not good at it, that's the things that you say.
Yeah.
So Jim Harbaugh, I'm not taking blame. I'm not trying to take away blame like Jimmy boy. Like, you got to do better. But the thing is,
change your khakis and do something.
Yeah, nobody was calling for Urban. I guess it's because Urban Meyer had an undefeated season and a national championship and all this. But, you know, but he lost to Purdue, an unranked Purdue team. Teams lose games that they're supposed to win much more than going on the road to Wisconsin, especially when Wisconsin's ranked number 13 in the country. But the way they got beat was not pretty.
No, it wasn't. And he's 4-11 versus top 15 teams.
4-11, you can't do that.
Mm-mm.
Especially with the recruiting advantages. Who do you think gets better recruits, Wisconsin or Michigan?
Michigan.
It's Michigan.
Yeah.
They have the money to do it. And by the way, there is no team in college football that's more of a paper tiger than Michigan. Mm-hmm. They have not won anything relevant in 50 years.
They're just going off the mystique.
Yeah.
Of being the big house.
Like Notre Dame. People say that about Notre Dame, but at least Notre Dame has won national titles in the last 30 years. They've been to national championship games. They made the college football playoff. Michigan has nothing to show for
it.
Nothing. And they got beat. Jonathan Taylor, who, if you're talking about Heisman runners, that's where you start. Sam Ellinger can take a back seat to Mr. Taylor, because Taylor in the first quarter, not half, quarter, had 13 touches for 142 rushing yards.
In one quarter. If you average that out for what it would be over four quarters, I believe that's close to 500 yards.
Yeah, it's over 500 yards.
That's a pretty good game.
That's a good, yeah, I think you could say that. It's, so, that game, it was interesting to see. Michigan got dominated in the first half. It was over. It would be different if it was a close game. The same way I feel about Kentucky Mississippi State. I'd be fine with a loss. I could accept that if it was a good game, but it wasn't. it was just us getting thrashed for a half and then trying to play catch up for just another half.
Less thrashed in the second
half. Yeah, by the way, Tennessee.
They went into the swamp.
And got swamped.
Yes, they did.
34-3, Florida defeated Tennessee. Some other scores, LSU, Vanderbilt 66-38, which good for Vanderbilt for putting up 38 points, but LSU really, really laid the wood, 28-7 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
It's wild. Georgia squeaked one out against Notre Dame. Notre Dame played better in the first half, but Georgia able to pull it out at the end. By the way, Brian Kelly, that's what you get for talking. What's up with these Northern coaches talking crap about the SEC and then can't handle their own jobs?
Well, yeah, that's what Brian Kelly does.
Yeah, I cannot stand Brian Kelly. I listen to a podcast of people sticking up for Brian Kelly, and I just can't do it. I'm not a Brian Kelly guy. I'm just not a Brian Kelly guy.
Make your face less red, please, Brian Kelly.
He just seems like a jerk, and he was talking about how, isn't Georgia in the SEC? They're big and bad in the SEC. I should have the actual quote, but he pretty much said, why is it that the SEC is supposed to be the best conference, but their highest selling game, like sellout, or their most attendant, is Notre Dame, Georgia? And he's just trying to like compare himself, like Notre Dame is bigger than the SEC.
Right, but they're not.
Yeah, you have your own little brand that you're allowed to extend everywhere, and Georgia is one of 14 teams in a conference and is still consistently better than your program.
Yes. And how many teams are in the top 10 right now from the SEC?
All
There's a good bit. It might be the
There's
entire 14
teams,
top 10.
I'm telling you, all 14 are in the top 10.
Don't think about that.
Charlotte beat Clemson. Alabama beat Southern Miss. Those scores were blowouts. Ohio State thrashed Miami of Ohio. Poor Miami of Ohio.
Hey,
they didn't deserve that.
76-5. They got a safety.
Auburn dominated most of the Texas A&M game. Texas A&M came back late, but Auburn prevailed 28-20 in that game and of the other top 25 contests. By the way, a game that I think is consistently underrated this year, it wasn't as good, but Oregon-Stanford has become one of the better games of the year, in my opinion. 21-6, Oregon defeated an unranked Stanford. By the way, Stanford 1-3 this year, which is really odd because Stanford is typically a powerhouse of a team. Washington beats BYU in a blowout, which is weird because BYU beat Tennessee in double overtime, beats USC in overtime, you know, but then they have their own fair share. Colorado upset Arizona State, and Arizona State their first loss of the year, and SMU defeats TCU 41-38.
There you have it. There has just been breaking news on Twitter from Antonio Brown. Just within the last couple minutes, we will tell you what is going to happen with Antonio Brown's future coming up on Jimmy and Angelo. It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Jimmy, this is called When It's Over.
Ooh.
And I wonder why.
Foreshadowing, huh?
Foreshadowing the turn of events that is the twist of the Antonio Brown saga. And if you're ready for it to be over, guess what?
It might be. Here is what was tweeted out from Antonio Brown's Twitter at 9:30 this morning. He says, I will not be playing in the NFL anymore. These owners can cancel deals and do whatever they want at any time. We will see if the NFL Players Association will hold them accountable. Sad they can just void guarantees anytime going on $40 million in 2 months. We'll see if they pay up.
What?
That was his statement.
Is he? Oh, okay. So then he retweeted something about Master P talking about him. Kraft got caught in the parlor AB speculations, fired different strokes, different folks, clearly.
So what they're saying is the thing that happened with Robert Kraft in the salon, he got caught doing that. Nothing happened to him. AB is just over speculations of these whatever allegations he has.
Wow, the Patriots signed him and then he attacks Robert Kraft after saying thank you to the organization. That's an attack on Robert Kraft, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So that was his next tweet after that. So
I'm so sick of Antonio Brown, and I can't believe I defended him at one point. This guy is just.
But does he not understand how contracts work, though? It was written in his contract that if you're released after a certain time, you don't get your guaranteed money. So They're not unlawfully taking money from him. It's not like they are sneaking around this bag. Like, he put his name on a dotted line that said in a contract, if A, B, and C are not met before time D, you don't get any money. So I don't. Is he saying that every single contract, every dollar you sign for, should be guaranteed up front day one, no matter what you do?
I mean, it's just embarrassing because he expected there to be, I get a guaranteed contract, now I will do whatever I want.
Exactly.
And here's the thing. You are allowed to be an individual. There's nothing against that
There's
in the NFL.
There's plenty of them in the NFL. Taylor Lewan has his own podcast, and he plays for the Titans. He says and does whatever he wants on that podcast.
I mean, think about all the other guys in the league that just get to roam freely, be who they are, do what they want. But it's because they just show up when they're contractually obliged to show up. And when you break a contract on your end, there are protections against the team that signed you to break it on their end.
It's just like any job.
It's voted on by the NFLPA. The Players Association even was like, you know what, that's fair.
And they're full of ex-players. Everyone on that Players Association.
Or current players.
Yeah.
Like, that's it's full of guys that are like, yes, if you guarantee the money, which the NFL, that's the hardest thing. Do you know how hard it's been for the NFL players to fight for guaranteed money?
Very, very hard.
You understand that Harrison Barnes is guaranteed more money than Aaron Donald?
That's crazy.
That's true. That's true. Like, if Aaron Donald was cut today in a legal manner, he's guaranteed $66 million. Harrison Barnes just signed a $68 million deal.
And Aaron Donald is arguably the most dominant player in the NFL right now.
Yes.
Regardless of position.
Now, I mean, we can get into the semantics because of the games played.
It's apples and oranges.
Right, it's apples and oranges, but the guaranteed money is still there to show you, like, the disparity. Because his contract's still $120 million, Aaron Donald's contract is. But like we said, it's the guaranteed dollars. And Antonio Brown got his wish. He even was able to avoid going to Buffalo, where he was originally going to be headed.
Yeah.
Do you remember that saga when he was supposed to go to Buffalo and then he said, I ain't going to Buffalo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the beginning of his online presence.
We should have seen.
He had no online presence, no Twitter or social media presence until I ain't going to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And then all this has transpired and it's like, who does he think he's the good guy for when he's tweeting this stuff? And is he the only guy that thinks he's the good guy?
I've seen people that I follow and am friends with on Facebook, Twitter. There's people that
still though
that look
still
at him and they say, you know, do you, like, you know, get your money, do whatever you have to do, don't let so and so hold you down. They're not letting you be who you want to be. But at some point there is a line, and there's a lot of ex-players that, like, I heard Shannon Sharpe say, he said, you know that you're ruining this for other players, right? You're going to not have other players get guaranteed
That's
money.
That's what I'm saying.
Because you're acting a fool like this. Other owners are going to look at this and say, oh, what if Melvin Gordon starts doing this? He's never had issues, but what if we give him what he wants and all of his money, and then he starts doing whatever he wants? So let's not give you any guaranteed. We'll make you earn it. All of it's incentive-based. And it could be that way in the future because of what he's doing.
Yeah, I doubt
it may be an overreaction.
Yeah, because, you know, Khalil Mack's still getting his money. Aaron Donald's still, they show up to work every day. They work hard. And those guys, you know, they're still allowed to be themselves. They choose not to act like Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm. A lot of guys do.
Yeah, right. Like Julio Jones. Do you know what Julio Jones did that a lot of people don't understand?
What's that?
He did the same thing Brown did, but he wasn't in the media about it.
Yeah,
because he went on his Instagram at the end of last season and took everything about the all Falcons pictures and everything out of his Instagram. He held out of camp.
Yeah.
It's until, what was it, 3 days before the season started?
It was 3 or 4 days.
And
He
got $2 million short of a fully guaranteed deal. He got 64 of his 3-year $66 million deal guaranteed.
And guess what? You didn't hear a peep. He wasn't you didn't have a YouTube channel with videos and memes and everything. He did his job. He was working with them behind the scenes. And then he showed up, and guess what he's done? He has balled out this year.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even have a problem with some of the things that Antonio Brown has done, but it's to the point where you become toxic to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the helmet thing I'm okay with.
Yeah, I think that was just a ruse to get the poster boy for Zenith helmets.
Ezekiel Elliott, there was rumors that there was kind of like an understanding, you don't have to come to camp until the preseason's over.
Yeah.
Like, go to Cabo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's what happened with Brown, where it's like, Antonio, you don't need to go to camp. You're always ready. You know, you're a professional athlete. You're
That's always
ready.
Happened with veterans. Michael Strahan, Brett Favre used to happen the same ways. They never showed up.
So I didn't have a problem with the helmet thing if it was a distraction from that. But calling your GM a cracker and then getting upset because they voided your contract because you wouldn't do your job, and then, he, you know, I guess the one thing we can say, though, is that before he got released by the Patriots, he acted right for 11 days.
We think. I mean, at least in the media's eye, you know.
This went from, here's the thing. This is just my personal vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really puts a different light on Terrell Owens, who was banned for 2 years from the Hall of Fame before they finally went in. He wouldn't go to the Hall of Fame thing because I think he knew that he was being purposefully attacked.
Mm-hmm.
By the writers and stuff. You didn't play it the right way and stuff. And it's like, Terrell Owens did some crunches in his driveway. And then also, he kind of submarined the second year of the Eagle season.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't this.
In comparison to what Antonio Brown. And people even put Chad Ochocinco in this too. And it's like,
I never thought of Chad Ochocinco
people just
as that
like
guy.
In the, just the diva mentality of being a wide receiver. But yeah, Terrell Owens, when you look back, maybe he didn't really do all that much. That was
too bad. Randy Moss. Like
he
Chad
was outspoken,
Johnson.
But at the time of him being outspoken, no one else was that way. He was kind of like the first one to kind of, just because back then there was no social media. There was no Twitter in 2004, 5, 6.
Right.
There wasn't the option to have your YouTube account, your Instagram, your Twitter, and then you unfollow the team. He didn't have a chance to do that.
So Antonio Brown, was that Vince McMahon's first big fish at the XFL?
I did see someone say, I believe Field Yates tweeted that. I mean, I'm just saying.
They made a rule to where if you have a criminal background, you can't play in the XFL.
Well, as of...
So they're not going to have any good football players in it. I'm just going to say, like, in the XFL, if that's your case, there are going to be a lot of good talents that aren't there. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure Antonio Brown isn't the type of guy that they're looking for.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not looking like it. Well, in case you missed it, Antonio Brown announced this morning about 20 minutes ago that he will not play another game in the NFL until something with his guaranteed money is figured out. Coming up on Jimmy and Angelo, we are going to get you some quick hits of today in sports. And then coming up right at 10 is the Football Power Hour.
Power Hour.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
And 92.5.
It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here, just like we are every single Sunday from 9 to 11. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo.
And when you hear this sound, you know it's time for quick hits. So let's get rolling.
So there was an update on the Jalen Ramsey situation. He has requested a trade. He got into a scuffle last weekend with his head coach on the sideline. He says, I want out. I'm done. Well, turns out the Jaguars are not interested in trading him, regardless of what Jalen Ramsey says. So that's an interesting twist. People were wondering, why is he playing on Thursday night if he's going to be traded? They don't want to get rid of him. And the Ravens reportedly offered a first-round pick, second-round pick, and their tight end, Hayden Hurst. Or Jalen Ramsey, Jag said, we're not interested.
That is a treasure trove of assets in a way, but Jalen Ramsey's still the most valuable piece in that. I thought that he wouldn't have played Thursday night if they didn't want to keep him. Turns out that was correct.
Yeah.
Well, my Chicago Cubs, if you're a Reds fan out there and you're listening to it, or any fan of the NL Central other than the Cubs, then you're pretty happy because yesterday the Cubs in the bottom of the eighth took an 8-7 lead against the St. Louis Cardinals on a two-run home run. A St. Louis Cardinals fan actually caught the baseball of the home run and took off his jersey and was given a Cubs jersey by the fans, and he put it on and went to that side. But here's where you're happy if you're a Cardinals fan. Craig Kimbrel comes at the top of the ninth, the $45 million man, and he throws two pitches. And there are two home runs by the St. Louis Cardinals. Yadier Molina on a first pitch home run, second pitch by Paul DeJong.
Mm.
They go up 9-8. And guess what score the Cubs lose by?
What's that?
9-8.
Mm. That's rough.
I'm not talking about it anymore.
There was a story yesterday during the Kentucky-Mississippi State game that had a lot of people wondering. I saw a lot of, you know, chatter on Twitter about Cash Daniel. He did not start the game for the Wildcats. And I was asking Angelo during the game, because, you know, you're kind of in, you know a lot about the team. You're usually there at the press conferences, everything. Why wasn't Cash Daniel starting? Was it because of the whole situation last week in the Florida game with Kyle Trask, where, according to Cash Daniel, his leg or his hand was stuck under a lineman when he was yanking it out of the pile, and then a new video angle surfaced of him allegedly twisting Kyle Trask's ankle under the pile?
That is what it looked like, and I think that with the controversy that spread about it, it was only the first drive, I believe, that he sat out. If it was longer, it was longer, but that's what I saw. It's funny because the announcing crew didn't know why he was sitting out. He's like, he's fully healthy. He's there emotionally. Why is he sitting? Well, it's like...
You didn't see... it could have just been a local story here that got a lot of talk, maybe nationally. No one else was really aware of it, but
right,
it had to have been what it was, right?
I'm confirming with the coach,
which
I'm,
I don't think they would confirm way. I think they would say something. It's something,
and it's
that was
a
handled
safe play.
In-house.
I wonder if that has anything to do with why they came out flat, but it's a safe way to kind of like levy that situation. You don't risk like looking like you promote that stuff at the program. Cash still gets to play. Everybody wins.
Right.
And Jimmy, I said I wasn't going to talk about it anymore.
Uh-oh.
The Milwaukee Brewers are 3 games ahead of the Cubs in the wild card, and we have scored 115 more runs than they have. Wait, that's not true, but the run differential is what I mean. Like, we're plus 112. The Brewers are minus 3 on the year in run differential, in runs given up to runs scored. 115 difference, 3 games behind them. Great. There's no better feeling in the world than being a Cubs fan and a Kentucky football fan.
Right now, I sensed a little bit of sarcasm there. Is that true?
Let's just get to the Power Hour.
All right. The NFL Power Hour is coming up. We're going to preview Bengals and Bills first. Coming up on Jimmy and Angelo, it's ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
This is Jimmy and Angelo. Give us a call at 381-1313 or tweet us at ESPN Radio Lex. Now here's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here with you every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. 381-1313 is our number.
And if you are not following Antonio Brown on Twitter right now, go to Antonio Brown's Twitter account, turn on the notification settings, and you want to see all this. I was just out about 15 minutes ago on Antonio Brown, and now I'm back.
So you're in the revolving door. Okay, so you heard it in the Sports Center just a couple seconds ago that he has tweeted that he is done playing in the NFL until the Players Association figures out how he can get his $40 million guaranteed back that he voided in the contract. But within the last 10 minutes, he has now tweeted out screenshots of Shannon Sharpe accused of sexual assault. This was back in 2010. Shannon Sharpe has been a critic of Antonio Brown and the way he's acting. So AB tweeted that headline out and said, Shannon Sharpe, the funny guy, still on TV after this. And then another headline of Ben Roethlisberger investigated for sexual assault from years ago. He said, Big Ben only got 4 games for this. Crazy world. I'm done with it. So now
I don't even remember Ben being suspended.
I don't think he was either. But there was 2 different sexual assault, allegations towards Big Ben.
One of them was, I believe, settled out of court, but that one did not look good.
Right, right. So he's now going on the train of, I'm going to just look, if you've critiqued me or you've not been on my side, you better hope nothing has ever been sketchy in your past, because he is now pulling out all the shots. Antonio Brown is. So it'll be interesting to see what keeps happening. But yeah, I now have my notifications on for Antonio Brown. So if there's anything else that's breaking this morning,
I'm really confused on like why people are telling. Like, I looked under the Big Ben thing and I see a lot of stop, like, keep your emotions off the internet, which was something he tweeted himself. But some people are saying, please keep going. But a lot of people are telling him to like quit. And it's like, And here's the thing, though. If this man is legitimately innocent, which I don't know if he is.
No, none of us
could
know.
Just be, he could just be a circus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but that, you can't, you every, it seems like people want to associate a circus act with being bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's a race thing. I don't know if that is just because you don't want to like the diva player, which can go back to the first thing I said.
Right.
I don't know, but just because the guy has shown that he's not a good employee for an NFL team in Oakland and even in Pittsburgh.
Towards the end, yeah.
Towards the end. That doesn't make him, without judicial like ruling, that doesn't make him a sexual assaulter until it's either proven or there's like, you know, like in Big Ben's case, you don't know because there was never like that trial. But then again,
same thing with Greg Hardy's case. It was settled out of court.
But all of that's very like alarming.
Yeah. So it's,
so we got to see what happens with AB. But he is putting these guys on blast, but there's a point to it, a point to that Shannon Sharp is calling the kettle a sexual assaulter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the Big Ben for what happened with him. AB sees that, like, he's ousted because of his mannerisms and behavior when other people, and now of course AB's really brought a lot of that on him because he's like, even though Big Ben did that, he was quiet throughout the whole thing. Shannon Sharp, I was too young to like be a part of that.
Yeah, this was back in 2010.
Oh, 2010.
Shannon Sharp,
then I wasn't too young. I just don't remember. I didn't realize that was after his playing career.
Right.
But, even he's in a new tweet says, Patriots, this was by the Daily Beast, Patriots fans threatened a Sports Illustrated writer who revealed a second sexual harassment claim that led to the ousting of Antonio Brown after just one game. He retweeted that with system working effectively.
There's a lot of moving pieces with this whole Antonio Brown saga, and with him now not being employed by any team, he's kind of got free reign, not like he didn't before when he was employed by a team, but to kind of say and do whatever he wants, even more so than he was before.
People hate him.
That's yes.
People, I'm looking at these Twitter comments, and a lot of them are just, we hate you.
Which is crazy. I just don't understand that whole thing of like a fan, the people that send death threats after a game or something like that. Like, as a fan, let Antonio Brown do and say whatever he wants, but for you to not know him and just say that you have genuine hate for him, like, that's, I don't know, to me that's just strange. Like, why are you, just let him say what he wants. You don't have to put in your 2 cents, you know, as a fan or an ego. Most of those people that do that on Twitter, they don't have an avatar picture. They don't have any people that they're following them. They just go on there to troll. So
they do.
You want to get on? Sad. You want to get into the games?
I think we can get into the games.
So we've got, we'll go over the Bengals-Bills. Bengals are on the road in Buffalo. It is Bills Mafia home opener, and the Bills are 6-point favorites. What are we expecting for the Bengals? Joe Mixon. I just blanked.
Sorry. I didn't catch it because I was trying to find. I was looking up stats for the teams. I'm so sorry about that.
No, I just totally blanked. Will Joe Mixon get rolling? He has 17 carries for 27 yards this year. Not in one game. Not in a half. This season, 17 carries for 27 yards.
Can you believe that?
Will he get rolling? What, people are starting to ask questions about Joe Mixon. Should the Bengals stick with him?
Well, the Buffalo Bills currently have the 10th ranked run defense in the NFL. They've only given up 98.5 yards a game on the ground. By the way, Baltimore has given up 20.5 yards per game. So they've only given up 41 yards on the season on the ground in 2 games.
That's solid.
That's scary.
I mean, one of their games was the Dolphins, so.
Oh, well, that makes sense because New England's second at 37.
Yeah.
So I guess Philly's the next most impressive one. But Washington, you know, they've been torn up through the air. But neither here nor there, pitter-patter. I was just saying that Buffalo is proven that, you know, still with the averages, they've still given up 4.8 yards a carry, which is not very good. So this could be the game that Joe Mixon gets it going. But you got to question whether or not they're going to be playing from behind in the game because Buffalo's offense during 2017 has been pretty decent, especially if you – the Jets game, it wasn't perfect.
Right, but they came back. And yeah. I think the Bills are 100% legit. I do not think this is a flash in the pan. I think Josh Allen is legit. And one thing – Devin Singletary, starting running back for the Bills, will be out this game. So it's going to be the Frank Gore show.
Yeah, and maybe a little bit of T.J. Yeldon sprinkled in there. But we'll talk more about that when it comes to fantasy.
Yeah.
I don't think the Bills are necessarily legit. Hmm. I think that they're a little similar to your 49ers to me. I'd like to wait and see how it develops, even though I think I'm a little more bullish on the 49ers than I am the Bills right now, because I still feel like the Bills have a lack of offensive weaponry outside of Josh Allen. I think when your quarterback is your best offensive weapon, that to me is, it just depends. Are you Peyton Manning and you have Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, or are you, you know,
Josh Allen with just John
Josh
Brown.
Josh Allen with Zay Jones, and if he's even still on the team, or Cole Beasley, or Zay Jones, or Charles Clay, or Frank, or 35-year-old Frank Gore at running back.
Still doing it.
It's not the most, I wouldn't say it's the most encouraging thing in the world.
But what is the outlook today for the Bengals going on the road? With the Bills having a strong defense and the Bengals kind of struggling on the offensive line department this year.
It's going to be something that has to be monitored very closely because the Bengals defense is currently giving up 401 yards per game, including a just absolute slaughter by the San Francisco 49ers. By the way, tell me about how you felt about that game. Do you like that?
I could not have been more in love with a game that I've ever watched. It was so great. Just because it's been a bit since my 49ers have been fun to watch. Even when they win games, it wasn't fun to watch just because the offense was sputtering. But I thought that was a great game. And again, much like I think the Bills are legit, I think the Niners are legit. And I picked them to win the division, mostly because I'm a homer. But I stand by that.
Well, it's good that you stand by that. Buffalo has 5 sacks through 2 games. Not a ton. You know, not a ton.
Not an overwhelming 2.5 a game.
Yeah, nothing that you kind of are afraid of. I think that's why if you look at this game, what it really comes down to is, it comes down to the rushing game, in my opinion. Because when it comes to rushing defense in the NFL, there are only 2 that are worse than the Bengals. And that is the Washington Redskins and the Miami Dolphins, and that's on average. And you can also throw the Tennessee Titans in there. But the Tennessee, they played a third game.
Right.
No other team has played a third game. So take Tennessee out of there, and it's literally Dolphins, Redskins, Bengals as the teams that give up the most rushing yards in the league so far. Obviously, San Francisco had a lot to do with that. While Buffalo, they are they're 9th in the NFL in yards per average, which is really scary if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, because you saw what Mostert, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Mostert
yeah.
did. You see how Jeff Wilson Jr. was playing. Matt Breida wasn't even the biggest star of the
game. Three-headed monster, that was.
It really was. And yeah, Buffalo is 10th in the league in rushing the ball at 279 yards a game. You'll never guess who's last in the league.
Who's that?
Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, that's not
even
good.
Worse. When you're worse than the Miami Dolphins at anything,
I mean, when you're starting running
back,
that's
a cause for concern.
Is averaging less than 2 yards a carry through 2 games.
It's not very good.
It's not ideal. So who is your pick for this game? Bengals on the road.
I've picked the Bengals 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. It's not going to continue this week because they have to prove to me.
Yeah.
Like, because it's so weird. They had the Jekyll and Hyde game. They had Seattle, in which they played against a perennial playoff team that was coming in pretty healthy, even with a new addition in Jadeveon Clowney. And it's really the Bengals. You can be a Seattle fan and think however you want to, but Cincinnati lost that game, in my opinion. Seattle did not win it. They just didn't lose that contest. You know, it's a win in the category. That's fine. You can say it however you want. But they got destroyed against San Francisco, and they have to figure out what to do there. I think what I was most impressed by is Buffalo's resolve.
They do that, yes.
Because against the Jets, they were down 16-0, came back and won that game.
Yeah.
And I know the Jets are terrible. Like, with Sam Darnold in there, he was terrible that day. You still come back to win. Buffalo then played... Who did Buffalo play last week? Do you remember?
Ooh, last week.
Because it was against the New York Giants.
That's right. It was the battle of New York.
Yeah, because they had the Jets, Giants. So that's not like a murderer's row schedule to come out and say the Bills are for real, even though you did. Just say, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just saying, I think I'd like to see a harder contest when your first 3 games are Jets, Giants, Bengals.
Yeah. But you can't help your schedule. All you got to do is come out and win those games. That's what makes me, because the teams that aren't legit, they lose those games. And they have come back, you know, they showed the resolve in week one against the Jets. And that was the Jets in week one that people were pretty high on the Jets with Le'Veon Bell, Robbie Anderson, Sam Darnold. They were expecting to be a pretty good team this year. And, you know, the Bills came back and were able to stick it to them.
Yeah, I'm going Bills.
Okay. I'm also going Bills, obviously, okay. Because they're legit.
Because they're are they too legit to quit?
Oh, they're not going to quit.
No,
absolutely not.
And that's why they have that resolve. I think
yes.
I think the key player to this game is going to be, obviously, on offense. It's Josh Allen, you know, for Buffalo. That's a little easy to say, but really it's just the running game. You have to be able to exploit the defense the way San Francisco did, and they're down a body. Devin Singletary is out for this game.
Yeah.
And I think that matters. I think that's actually going to matter on the bottom line, which shows you how thin the margins are in the NFL. Because if you had Yeldon, Gore, and Singletary, you can do what the 49ers did last week to Cincinnati.
Right.
You know, but it's weird because Seattle, they didn't throw on Bengals. They ran a lot on Cincinnati, but you had Carson and Penny.
Yeah.
In the backfield, it's just a situation in which they're going to have to rely on their running game a lot. The Bills are 18th in the NFL in passing at the moment. Two touchdowns, two interceptions. The yard, it's not going to work throwing the ball through the air. So that what I'm trying to say is this game is not definitely the Bills. Because
right.
Cincinnati can pass. They can. Dalton's the second leading passer in the NFL right now, yards-wise. They have a chance to win this game. I'm not 100% sold on the Bills defense, you know, long term, because I don't think they have the blue chip players on there just yet. But they're going to have to prove it to me. So the Bills have proven it through two games. Cincinnati proved it 1 week, didn't prove it the next. 2-0 versus 0-2. But if the line is 6.5, see,
that's
team, because they just keep pulling me back in, I would take the Bengals in 6.5, because I could see this much more being a 3-point game or Cincinnati pulling out the upset than I can see the Buffalo blowing them out, just because statistically they haven't been a great offense so far. And even though the Bengals defense is terrible, it's not like Buffalo's defense is a world beater either. But I like I said, I'm taking Buffalo, you're taking Buffalo. Do you want to pick the rest of the games?
I think we should.
Okay.
You want to start that now?
No.
Okay.
Let's wait. Let's wait just a second, because what we do, go to Jimmy and Angelo on Facebook, give the page a like, and go on Twitter at Jimmy and Angelo. We post our picks every week. And right now, Jimbo is in the lead through 2 weeks with a pretty comfortable margin, kind of like the Cardinals are on the Cubs, which just hurts. Why am I hurting myself? It's because you right now you are.
I believe
I'm 20.
20 and 8, I think.
No, you're 20. I thought you were 20, 12, and 1.
Okay, yeah, I forgot. There
was
that.
Is that correct?
Yeah, there was this.
Who did we pick Thursday night?
I didn't officially make a pick, like, on any social media.
We had to have. That was our...
Did you make a pick? Okay.
Not on social media.
Okay. Okay. If I'm being honest, I had the Titans, and they did not win.
I think I had the Titans, too. I'll just go ahead and take the L, just because we don't have proof if we did pick. So... We both had...
That was a rough game.
Yeah, Titans. I'm just writing this down for the future, Titans. But yes, you were 12-4 last week. I was 8-8.
Yeah, you were dead even.
Dead even. So I went 8-7 the first week, so I'm 16-15-1. But now I'm 16-16-1 with the Titans pick. So
it's a long season.
Batting 500, so I need today.
Yes, you do. So Vegas has all but two home teams as favorites this week, which is... not the ordinary, but I got something to say about that. I don't like all these home teams. That's coming up. Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. You know what this music means.
What does this music mean?
Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. 92.5. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. We are picking NFL games.
This is my favorite part of the weekend. This is always my favorite part, and I'm ready.
It's the music. All right. Falcons, 1-1 at the Colts, who are also 1-1. Colts are favored by 1 point at home, over under 47.
This game is really tough to call. I think it's a pick 'em. Mm-hmm. Really, I think Indianapolis has the ability to play ball control. The Falcons have explosive playmakers. They have not shown it so far this year. They got a lucky win against, not lucky, but they got a close win against Philadelphia. They could easily be 0-2. I think Indianapolis has shown through two games that they are the better overall team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the Colts.
Really? Colts at home?
Yep.
I've got Falcons on the road. I just think that their offense is too good, and they kind of got going last week, like you said. Matt Ryan had a better game. Julio had a pretty good game. But I think it's time for Devonta Freeman to really get started.
And that's the reason why. I don't think that the Falcons have a run game.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that the Colts have the ability to control the ball. I think the Falcons line is too small. Mm. This is one of the best offensive lines in all of football. The Colts will be able to be the ones to run the ball. And that's how they're going to win the game.
You think Marlon Mack's going to have a great game, huh?
We'll see. We'll see.
All right, so this next one, it's sad that this is a 1 o'clock game because this is arguably the game of the year so far. Ravens 2-0 at the undefeated Chiefs. Chiefs are favored by 6 at home with a 52.5 point over-under. That over-under is not high enough.
Let me ask you, through the first 2 weeks, Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, who's been better?
I would still say Mahomes. See, just because numbers-wise, but it's close.
I would go with Lamar Jackson. If you didn't know who was who and mm-hmm. just their play on the field, I think Lamar's been the more impressive one. Although Patrick Mahomes has gone against a little better teams. When you face Arizona and Miami in your first 2 weeks, they're two of the worst teams in football.
Yeah.
That's what you get. I will be safe just because my heart wants to choose Baltimore, but my pick spread, I need to win this week.
Yes, you do.
And I think I need to back the winning horse, and I think that's going to be Kansas City.
All right. Now, Damian Williams is out for the Chiefs, their lead running back, so it'll be kind of the LeSean McCoy and Darwin Thompson train going through. So it's going to be tough for Lamar to go into Arrowhead. So I've got the Chiefs also.
You've got the Chiefs?
I've got the Chiefs. All right, next, Broncos 0-2 at your Green Bay Packers. Angelo, Packers favored by 7.5 at home, over under 42.5.
I think the smart play in this one, points line, I think is about right on the head. I would stay away from the points. I think it's going to be a closer game than people think. The Denver Broncos have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb and have not recorded a sack this year. Aaron Rodgers took the most sacks in the NFL last year. I think that the defense for Denver is going to turn it on a little bit more than they have lately, but I'm not going to bet against Aaron Rodgers against Joe Flacco in that offense. I think it's going to be a closer game. I can see a 21-17 type of game, but I am going to take Green Bay.
I've got Green Bay also. I just don't think Joe Flacco is a very good quarterback. I like to call him Joe Fluco. He's had that one run. Anyways, I'm not getting it. I just think the Packers handle this at home. Green Bay keeps that offense going, and Rodgers may not be protected, but he figures out a way to get it done because he's Aaron Rodgers with the stash.
Aaron Rodgers with the stash. Man, this is a very home-heavy schedule.
Yes.
Like, it seems like a lot of home teams might take it this
year. That's what I was saying. Only all but two home teams are favored in this week. So this next one, not a lot to talk about. Dolphins on the road. Cowboys. Cowboys are favored by 23 points.
In the upset of the week, Dallas doesn't cover the entire spread.
Okay.
No, don't even take my word for that. That was just for a little hot take. No, it's Dallas.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, there's really nothing else to say.
I think Dallas could do to Miami. Now that I actually take back what I said about the spread, they might be able to do to Miami what
New England.
What Ohio State did to Miami, Ohio yesterday.
Okay.
I mean, I think they could slaughter him for 50 plus.
It's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, when you have Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper, your offense is better.
Yes. Lions, 1-0-1 on the road with the banged up Philadelphia Eagles, who are 1-1. Eagles are still favored at home by 6 points, over under 45. Again, like I said, Eagles are very banged up. Who you got?
This is a game where I can see it really going either way. Philadelphia seems like the safe pick, but they lost Timmy Jernigan for the year. They've lost Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson, likely Alshon Jeffrey for this game, and then DeSean Jackson, I believe, for 2 weeks. They're also down one of their running backs that's in their core. They'll be really rolling, and one of their offensive linemen is out. They are, like you said, they are very banged up against a Detroit team that I think has been sneaky. This is about as tough as a game to call. I think it goes down to the last minute. Mm-hmm. I will take the Eagles, though, in the contest.
Okay, yeah. The Eagles had to cancel practice this week and just do a walkthrough because they were so banged up.
So I think I know where you're going with this.
I'm going with the Lions. Upset on the road. I think Stafford has a monster game. We'll get into him more later with our fantasy picks.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
I got the Lions on the road. Next game, Jets 0-2 on the road with the Patriots. Another plus an over 23-point spread. With this one, Pats favored by 23. At least that was the last line I saw.
Man, the Jets are just so banged up all over. You're talking about Philly being banged up. The Jets are going to be without C.J. Mosley and Quinnen Williams again. And you saw what Cleveland did to the Jets on Monday Night Football. Can you imagine what the Patriots are about to do to them?
I'm just saying, Tom Brady and Luke Falk, who's going to be starting for the Jets, have a lot of similarities. They were both drafted 199 overall. They're both 6'4". They both had their first start at age 24 in week 3. And they both went up against legendary quarterbacks in their first starts. I'm just saying.
You know what's funny?
What's that?
Luke Falk actually the step down, he religiously follows Tom Brady.
Really?
Like, he owns all of Tom Brady's nutrition guides. He does, like, he's literally tried to make himself into Tom Brady. I remember watching the NFL draft, and that was the thing they talked about, Luke Falk. And then he happened to be the same pick Brady was. I thought Luke Falk looked good when he came in for the Jets. You could be seeing the next Tom Brady facing the current Tom Brady.
So much so that you are still picking the Pats, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So no AB for the Pats. You think that's okay?
I think so.
Okay.
I think we've seen any updates on the AB front?
Not in the last 10 minutes. All right. Oh, by the way, I took the Patriots also. I thought that was implied. Last game of the early slate for Sunday. Raiders are 1-1 on the road with the 1-1 Minnesota Vikings. Vikings favored by 9, which is that's a high point.
It seems heavy, but the last time Minnesota was at home, they absolutely destroyed the Atlanta Falcons. They absolutely destroyed them. They could be just one of these great home teams. Oakland's got to figure out a little bit more on defense, especially after you're losing Jonathan Abram. They got 4 touchdowns scored on them by the Chiefs in the third quarter, passing touchdowns by Pat Mahomes. I don't know if the line is the safe play, but if it's just if you're doing a tease or a parlay where you can just pick a straight-up winner, I think Minnesota's going to take the game.
I agree. Dalvin Cook is a monster. And something to note, at least fantasy-wise, Josh Jacobs has been sick this week. Last week during the game, he needed 4 IV bags during the game, and he's lost 10 pounds. I don't know what kind of sickness he had, but all signs point to him playing this week, and he's probably going to be okay, but that's just something to note.
Maybe someone to sit.
Could
in
be.
Your fantasy league.
It could be, because the Vikings have a very good defense. All right, so we're both taking the Vikings in that? All right, that is the end of the early.
I took every home team in the early slate. That's how scared I am. I've got.
You did take the Eagles. Okay. Okay, yeah, I took the Lions in that one. So that is the early slate. Do we want to continue picking the late slate here? Do we want to?
No, I think we'll step away for just a second. We got NFL power music.
Yeah, we'll let that simmer.
I do think it's funny though that me and you are both, like, for some reason, both on the Lions this year. We both seem to really be on that same page. It's weird to be over here backing the Detroit Lions, but
especially you as a Packers fan.
Exactly. Well, Detroit's meaningless. I mean, that's like you being upset at the Arizona Cardinals as a 49ers fan. Like, what's bringing a knife to a gunfight? You know?
Yeah. So I've got a couple more upsets coming up. That's all I'm saying. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. We are picking the NFL games. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. Let's get right into it. We are going to do the late slate of games for today. The 0-2 Panthers, with the rookie Kyle Allen starting a quarterback for them, going up on the road to the 0-1-1 Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals are favored at home by 2.5. More than likely, that is because Cam Newton is out for the Panthers. Does that affect your pick?
It's going to be. It actually helps it, if anything. Cam had been playing so hurt that I think it's probably best that Kyle Allen is coming in. For the game, I think that there is a chance that this could be a shootout because if you notice, the Carolina Panthers defense didn't do too well on Thursday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a week ago. I think that this is a toss-up of a game. I think Arizona has a chance to record their first win of the year. I think they actually played Baltimore pretty close, which is surprising for the way that Baltimore started off. I think for the first two games of the year, this is one of the hardest games to pick for the day, and I'm stalling because I think I'm going to take Carolina.
Really?
I think so.
I don't think that's a bad pick. I'm taking the Cardinals at home. Just because we don't really know what Kyle Allen, but I could see it lighting a fire under the offense. A lot of people are staying away from McCaffrey fantasy-wise. I think the Panthers are going to be all right, but I am taking the Cardinals.
I think just to have a healthy quarterback.
Yeah.
Kyle Allen might not be the best quarterback in the world, but having a guy that's healthy and can make the throws you ask him to, I think it's going to change their offense.
Yep. Next, the 0-2 Giants on the road with the 1-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucs favored by 6. We will get to see Daniel Jones in his first start.
Yeah, we will get. I'm not going to call him Danny Dimes. I refuse to. I think it's
that?
A horrible name. No, that's his nickname. Danny Dimes is what he's called, and I cannot do it. I do think that New York, right? Isn't that just weird?
That's rough.
And I think that you could see something positive out of this for the New York Giants. I think you could see hope, but the way the defense played for Tampa Bay against Carolina in the last game that we saw, I think they might be building something pretty good there. The receiving core for the Giants I don't think is very good, and their secondary is terrible. I think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take this one at home.
The Daniel Jones hype is real. I'm taking the Giants on the road in the upset. I just think Jameis, it's all pointing to him having a great game today because the Giants are not that great. They're going up against a new quarterback. I think he chokes, throws a couple bad timely picks, and I've got the Giants. They're going to do it. Going down to Florida.
There you go.
All right, next, the 1-1 Texans on the road against the 1-1 Chargers. Now, the Chargers are favored by 3 at home. Over-under is 48.5.
I just think that the Chargers have a pass rush that can bother Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure.
He gets so beat up.
He does, and the Chargers need to come out and make a statement that they're ready and fired up to play. I think if they do that, they win. I will take the Chargers.
I think Watt and company are going to wreak havoc on Phillip Rivers. I've got the Texans on the road. I love their offense so much. DeAndre Hopkins is my guy. Best receiver in the league. He's had a rough start this season with drops.
Very arguable. Best receiver in the league.
All right, whatever.
Let's pump the brakes.
Whatever. But Julio's pretty good too. I got the Texans on the road.
It's going to split us up. Either you are the NFL picking god of the first quarter of the season, or we are going to even up the odds because we have three different. Actually, our last four games on my sheet, we've picked differently.
I'm taking some chances this week. All right, so we've got the Drew Breesless New Orleans Saints 1-1 on the road against the undefeated Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are favored by 4.5 at home. A lot of questions in this game.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about Seattle, and I don't know if that matters with Teddy Bridgewater coming in at quarterback. But
right.
The thing is that you're going to have to trust. New Orleans defense has been leaky the first 2 weeks. I think their cornerback situation has been struggling, especially Marshawn Lattimore really got toasted the last 2 weeks by DeAndre Hopkins and Cooper Kupp. So I think there is reason for concern, but I do believe that New Orleans is still, even without Drew Brees, the better football team than the Seattle Seahawks. Even on the road, I think New Orleans is the better team. They win the game.
Interesting. I'm taking the Seahawks at home. I personally think I'll ask you this. Do you think Bridgewater or Taysom Hill will end up being the replacement? Right now, they've said Bridgewater is starting.
I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance that Teddy Bridgewater isn't the guy.
Yeah.
That he could be hurt. But we have to give him a week full of preparation, the offense built for him and around him. You come in at game day with a certain game plan. Mm-hmm. You have to ride with the game plan you have. The same one for Drew Brees might not be the same for Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
I think Teddy Bridgewater gives them some stability. I think they're going to run the ball a lot. Taysom Hill, I think it's almost perfect to go to a dual quarterback system more than choosing between one or the other. But I do think that Bridgewater is going to get the majority of snaps at the position. And I still think if they have a certain playbook in him, and they didn't make him the highest paid backup in the league for nothing.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks take this one, but I think for the next couple weeks, I think Taysom Hill is going to be the way that they turn, and I think he's going to be the one to give them that real spark, because you run that read option or that kind of RPO option offense with Kamara and Taysom Hill, that's not a bad 1-2 punch.
That's not, but can he throw?
Can Bridgewater throw?
That's been the question. I think we will... That's a game we'll have an eye on for today.
All right, up next, 0-2 Steelers on the road against my 2-0 49ers. Niners are favored by 7 at home. Over under 43, Mason Rudolph will be starting for the Steelers.
I think you could go over in points, and I think you take Pittsburgh on the line with how much they're giving, because I think Pittsburgh's
going to
play
lot.
a really, really close game. I don't think San Francisco is an elite team. I think they had a good week against the Bengals. They gave it to Tampa. I do think that they're the better team coming into this game. I do have San Francisco at home.
You do have the 49ers winning?
I do.
Yeah, I think a lot of these backups that are coming in this week, I don't think, you know, they're going to perform terrible. I think Mason Rudolph had a good game. He's got a strong arm. But I just don't think it's enough. I've got the 49ers at home. You know, if the Steelers lose, they'll be 0-3 for the first time since 2013.
Well, good.
It's not a good start.
I'm not a big Steelers guy.
What's up, Trey? Trey Carney.
Yeah.
All right, so this is getting into the Sunday night game. The 2-0 Rams are favored on the road against the 1-1 Cleveland Brown. The over-under is 47.5.
I can't stand – I haven't been able to stay in the Cleveland Browns for this entire decade, but I think with their early rough start, people have kind of forgotten about them. And what's interesting is even with Los Angeles Rams cornerbacks, a lot of fantasy guys think that Odell Beckham Jr. is in line for a big game. I'm not picking the Browns, but I think this can be especially – I think this is a must-watch game.
Oh, absolutely.
I think Rams-Browns this week is a must-watch.
Which is good that it's a Sunday night game.
Yes, I think that the Browns are going to be competitive. I'm not going to bet against – when you have McVay, Goff and Gurley versus Kitchens and Mayfield. I think that's why I think the line you said was 2.5. I could see it being a 3-point game. I'm just going to go Rams here.
Really? See, I'm taking this upset. I think the Browns are going to come in here and shock the world, and they're going to put themselves back in the talk for elite AFC teams. I'm taking the Browns as a home underdog. The Monday night game, probably not nearly as exciting for this game. The 1-1 Bears are favored by 4 on the road against the 0-2 Redskins. Over-under is 41 points. The Bears, one of the two road favorites. Who you got?
Jimmy, who do you have?
I have the Bears taking this. I just don't think the Redskins are that great. How much longer until Dwayne Haskins makes his appearance? Last week, I called it right here on the show. I said Daniel Jones is going to take over for Eli Manning this week, and it happened. I'm not saying Dwayne Haskins this week because you do not want to put him up against the Bears in his first start. Don't do that, or in his first game. But I think within the next couple weeks, you're going to start to hear a lot of rumbles and grumbles.
Well, the thing is, Case Keenum hasn't been bad, at least from a fantasy football perspective. He's actually been really solid, and that's why I think that the Redskins have a chance. If it wasn't for me being so far behind you in our pick-ems, I will go safe with the Bears as well, but I think the Redskins are at home. They have an extra day to prepare. Mm-hmm. They finally got Adrian Peterson as the starting running back there. Let's see if they juice him any. But I think that the underrated thing is that the question is, do the Bears have an offense? Legitimately, do they have an offense? They have to figure it out this week, or there's gonna be a lot of grumblings about Trubisky being benched.
Trubisky being benched, and the pick that they have with David Montgomery making him the starter, getting rid of Jordan Howard. So be interesting to see. So you're taking the Bears also.
I am taking the Bears, but I do think that the Redskins have a bit. Did you call me a baby?
No, I said you made me pick first. I see what you did here.
I think you just called me a baby, sir. We're going to have to rewind the tape. Let's give a second. By the way, give us a call, 381-1313, because we are going to be talking about our fantasy football's stardom. We're going to do three and out. We're going to do three starters, three that you need to think about sitting, because we're not going to just tell you to sit a guy, but I mean, just maybe if you have a better option, go with that. And then our sleeper of the week. And that's all coming up next.
Yep. It's Jimmy and Angelo right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here. We got you every Sunday, 9 to 11. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Facebook, at Jimmy and Angelo. You got fantasy football questions, comments, concerns? Call us up, 381-1313. We're going to get you three and out. Three guys that you should love if you have on your roster, and three guys that you should if they're on your roster.
Well, I guess love would be a little strong just because
We favor them.
We favor them, yeah. If you're thinking about playing a guy this week, I think that... One of my guys that I'm looking at quarterback, There are a bunch of good options. I think Kyler Murray against Carolina, if you're thinking about sitting him, if you've got a guy like Russell Wilson ahead of him, I think Kyler Murray is a guy that you would want to put in the starting lineup. I think that he's going to have a big day against a Carolina defense that hasn't been necessarily locked down. I would say Kyler Murray, if you have a guy like that in front of him, he is a guy to watch out and start. And if you have Jared Goff, I wouldn't try to pull someone out of the bottom, like a Case Keenum, Andy Dalton, if you're that worried about Cleveland. Cleveland does have a very good secondary.
Yeah.
But if we know anything about Sean McVay and their offense, Jared Goff distributes the ball around. I think he was one of the best, highest scoring fantasy football quarterbacks last year. I believe he was either fifth or sixth in fantasy football at quarterback last year. I think that there's a little overreaction in the sit Jared Goff this week because they're on the road at Cleveland. I think that if you're trying to pull a random guy just to replace him, don't do that. Keep Jared Goff in the lineup.
Yeah. So who you got as your first guy to be in? You got Kyler Murray or
Jared? It was just Kyler Murray, Jared Goff. I kind of split on him because Kyler Murray is the guy that if he's just a guy that's sitting on your bench and you do have a Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Phillip Rivers, someone like that, I think Murray's probably more inclined to have a big game. And then if you're thinking about picking up a waiver wire guy over Jared Goff, I don't think that's a good idea. I think they both can play.
I'll go quarterback here also for my first guy that I really like this week. I've got Matt Stafford going up against a very banged up Eagles team, and he might be on your waiver wire. But if you're going up against a guy, Matt Stafford, at least if you're looking at rankings, Jameis Winston's way above him in the rankings. I would put Stafford over Jameis Winston this week. Just looking at the matchup, the Giants are not that good of a defense for Jameis, and he is playing at home, but do you trust Jameis or do you trust Stafford because they have to throw the ball? Stafford will. I just think him and Wentz are going to go back and forth this week.
I'm just worried about Matt Patricia and their offensive philosophy in Detroit, whether passing the ball that much. But if you look at what Bill Belichick has had to do with Brady in the past, it's just a direct Patriots-Lions comparison, for me. And if you know that you have to pass the ball or that it's the best way to have your team win, then this is probably the route. You're probably right on it. I just feel like they've become very run-oriented. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how many deep shots they'll take, how many, are you going to get your 350 yards out of Stafford? Because he has not been a viable fantasy option since Patricia got in Detroit last year.
It's just been more inconsistent. He has his weeks where he goes off, but then, you get another
Matt Stafford week. Because Matt Stafford used to be a must-start fantasy quarterback for the first 7 years of his career, and then Patricia gets there, and he was like the 22nd-ranked fantasy quarterback last year.
Yeah. Who else you got for your guys that you need in that lineup?
I see a lot of people struggling over the decision to play this guy. And if you have a flex spot open, or even if you badly need a running back too, like I do, Frank Gore.
Ooh.
Like, you've got to start Frank Gore. With the way that Cincinnati got gashed last week, he gets a ton of opportunities. And now that Devin Singletary is out, I see people on group boards post, do I start Frank Gore or player B? And it's like, no, you start the guy that's a starting running back against one of the three worst rush defenses in the league.
Frank
that's
Gore,
who you start.
I could see his stat line being like 85 yards on 20 something carries and 2 touchdowns.
That's exactly
nothing way out of this world. He's not going to average 5-6 yards a carry, but he's going to get the job done, and he's going to fall in the end zone.
Yep. I think Frank Gore, just with opportunity plus the defensive mismatch, I think you've got a plus there.
I have a different running back. I've got Marlon Mack. He has had the most carries through 2 weeks for the Colts. I've got him. I think he is going to, and I have seen he's been questionable in the injury report.
The most carries on the Colts or the most carries in the league?
In the league.
Okay.
So I think he's going to have a monster week this week against the Falcons. Colts are at home. He's been questionable, but I've heard throughout the morning that he is going to start. He is going to play. So I think Marlon Mack would be a monster start this week.
I really like that because that alludes to – see, I think you really wanted to pick the Colts. You said Falcons because now that you – I think that the Colts will be able to control the ball on the ground through their run game, and that's part of the reason why is that offensive line, and then you have Marlon Mack coming up there. You've got a guy there.
Yeah.
I do have a wide receiver. He's probably the one guy that is out of all of these. I think Frank Gore is the safest, but – this guy I really like. Even if you have like a stud receiver, let's say, and this kind of goes into our next part, which is the three guys. If you have a Tyler Boyd, a T.Y. Hilton, or a Brandon Cooks in your lineup, and you've got D.J. Moore on your bench, start D.J. Moore. The Cardinals secondary is banged up. They don't have Patrick Peterson because of his suspension early on in the season. DJ Moore has been targeted 24 times in the first two games. Now, that was with Cam Newton, But still, the offense goes through him when it comes to throwing the ball. Kyle Allen being the healthy quarterback, I could see a lot of 5 and 10-yard opportunities. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a 9-reception, 100-yard, 1-touchdown game from DJ Moore today. He's kind of my guy of the week. I think DJ Moore, start DJ Moore.
I like that. I've got another guy who's a monster on the ground. It may seem... I may pick another one. Dalvin Cook, but that's a given. He's been the number one running back through fantasy. So I'm going to go Vance McDonald at tight end. People are wondering, you know, with Big Ben out and Mason Rudolph coming in, what's Vance going to do? Vance and Juju, what is their fantasy value? Mason Rudolph can throw the football. He's proven that. And I think Vance McDonald is going to have a great game against my 49ers. I don't think the Steelers win, but I do think Vance would be a good – because I have him on a couple of my rosters, and I was like, what do you do with him? You can't trade him. No one's going to want to trade for Vance McDonald with no Big Ben. But I think you stick with him. Give him another week.
I'd be interested to see if Quan Alexander is matched up on him, because Quan Alexander was the player of the game against Cincinnati last
week. This is kind of a revenge game for Vance. The 49ers drafted him. Mm-hmm. So, and he's going back to San Francisco. So I think he's going to get the better of him.
So a quarterback that I think that in fantasy, if you have – like I said, a Kyler Murray or some option to sit.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers has not looked like the same Aaron Rodgers of a couple of years ago. I think he's been a disappointment in fantasy so far. He is going up against a defense that has a decent secondary and a couple of threat edge rushers. I think this will probably be a ball control game. It'll be an ugly game in Green Bay is what I'm forecasting this now. Aaron Rodgers, I don't ever truly bet against him, because he'll throw 4 touchdowns and you'll feel foolish. But I would say Aaron Rodgers is a guy that worries me going into this Sunday slate.
You're not liking the stash?
Oh, no, I love the stash. I'm not liking the 21 points against the Minnesota Vikings and dropping off, or the 10 points against Chicago.
My guy that I think you should avoid this week at running back is someone who is a rookie for the Raiders that a lot of people were spending high draft picks on for a rookie running back, mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs. I just don't know if you can trust him going up against the stout Minnesota Vikings defense. And I mentioned earlier, he was really sick last week. He needed 4 IV bags during the game.
Yes.
And he's lost 10 pounds. He seems fine now. I follow him on Instagram when I was looking at his Instagram stories. He seems like he's okay. But I just don't know if you probably want to stay away from him and much of the Raiders.
Minnesota is 18th in the league in rush defense right now. That's not great. But like you said, when you have this type of sickness, you kind of can't. You know, you don't want to take that risk if you don't have to. If you're in a more shallow league, maybe find another option.
Mm-hmm.
Devonta Freeman, until further notice, is a must sit for me.
I hate that.
I think that Ito Smith has out-touched him 2 games in a row.
Yeah.
And even Ito Smith isn't like producing a lot. The Atlanta Falcons backfield right now is just a don't touch. And I think Freeman, if you spend a high pick on him, learn the term sunk cost, because you've got to move on at this point. Stash him on your bench until he proves it.
Yes. My next guy, I mentioned a Pittsburgh Steeler that I think is going to do well in Vance McDonald. I don't think James Conner is going to have a great game today.
He hasn't had a great game.
No. But he's one of those guys that was, I think he was going about the 4th, 5th, 6th pick in drafts. Sometimes he would go to the end of the first round, but he was one of those guys that when you pick in the first round, they are must start and they are matchup proof. You keep them in there. But I don't know if you can trust James Conner till we figure out what the offense is going to look like with Mason Rudolph. So if you have the ability to, I would stay away from a James Conner.
And my sleeper of the day, you've already mentioned him once during the show, it's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Ooh.
With the depleted receiving corps of the corpse is the right word when it comes to the Eagles receiving core. But Arcega-Whiteside's very talented. He's actually getting on the field earlier than some people maybe have thought of. He was a second round pick. He was a basketball player turned wide receiver. He's a guy that I think is going to have a good day. And if you need someone in a deeper league, you're scrambling to replace Antonio Brown because he's retiring from the NFL. I would say Arcega-Whiteside's a guy that I think is maybe worth a shot.
My sleeper pick is a running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, not LeSean McCoy. Darwin Thompson, who's going to be taking over the Damian Williams role. And I think the Chiefs offense, it showed last year once Kareem Hunt went out, how successful Damian Williams was. This seems just like whoever has that role is a plug-and-play start every week. And Darwin Thompson is a great athlete, and I think he out-touches McCoy in this game in a shootout against the Ravens, and I think Darwin Thompson has a monster game.
I think that's a good pick.
But it's interesting to see, will LeSean McCoy play a lot, or will it be just kind of like a split between the two? But it is going to be a fun slate of games today with, oh man, that Ravens-Chiefs. I can't wait. And it's going to be coming up in about an hour. 2 hours, sorry.
2 hours.
I'm sorry,
super
I was getting ahead of myself.
It's an hour if you're in Central Time, but even in their time, it's two hours.
2 hours. It's 2 hours. Yep. We will be back next week. We're always here every Sunday, 9 to 11. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.